welcome Bark to another episode of Roomies Talking Movies, the next Bark stop for all things movie news and reviews. Oh, sorry, movie news and reviews. This week we are Bark to talk about DC Super Pets. As always, I am your Dwayne the Rock Johnson dog, Danon, and joining with me is my speedy little turtle, Camden.
Get it? Because that's what the turtle does in the movie.
The turtle did swear.
You need to
bleep
those out, by the
way.
You need to bleep those out to make it accurate.
I will. I know. I have to. Regardless.
I thought that was so funny, but we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
When that first happened, I wasn't ready for it. But before that, we got a tiny bit of news. So strap in, folks, because we're shooting off into the dog park with this one. First off, we have, we had a good week, didn't we?
Until now.
A live-action film based on Pac-Man is officially in the works. I don't know if they mean that they're going to do something where it's like based on the making of the game. Or the game.
I think they should do a horror movie.
Mm, where the ghosts are haunting someone and then he just eats. He takes a bunch of LSD and then he kills the ghost.
Pac-Man is the villain.
Oh, and it's from the POV of the ghosts.
Think about if he was in live-action. Because this is live-action. What is it going to look like?
He's got to have teeth, right?
Got to have teeth. Gotta have a big, big dong. Just
all right. Well, I don't know if that's necessary for the Pac-Man image, really.
But what do you think they could pull with this?
I think my thing is that I bet they're doing like something where it's like the making of Pac-Man, like how the first big video game came to be. But if they're doing like it's the plot of Pac-Man, but a live action movie, I don't.
There's not much plot to Pac-Man, though, is there?
To people who are like, how do you make a live-action Sonic? No, Sonic had a plot that you can kind of structure. This is this is nothing. But can't wait to see it.
Speaking
of
nothing.
What?
Florence Pugh. This is nothing. Florence Pugh is reportedly distancing herself from her upcoming film Don't Worry, Darling, with Harry Styles as much as possible without coming in violation of her contract due to concerns she had over events during production of the film. So basically, Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles had some secret love thing that is now public, but it was secret at the time during the production
of the film.
Bad secret
then, huh?
I think Olivia Wilde had a husband. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, isn't that Olivia Wilde?
That is Olivia Wilde. And so Florence Pugh, once this love affair was happening, she had to step in and do pretty much all of the director's job because Olivia Wilde was like, I'm not doing it. I'm in love with Harry Styles. Hey, forget about it. And so now Florence Pugh is like not going to press events that like she's not required to. She's like anything that's like on her social media account is just like her agents. Like she is doing anything she can to distance herself.
Well, I think maybe I'm a little worried, darling, about how this film might be now.
Yeah. Good one, dude.
Speaking about movies, that's the transition we can do for everything.
Speaking of movies,
Top Gun Maverick has now overtaken Titanic at the U.S. box office. I don't care who you are, man, woman, child, or dolphin. You must bow down to Tom Cruise in the biggest movie he's ever been in. And Top Gun's not that bad. Like, it's very fun. Like, there's worse movies to make a lot of money for.
I haven't seen it, but I bet it's good.
Yeah.
Based on the amount of money it's making.
Good enough to beat Titanic, which is, you know, saying something. Because he painted a naked lady.
Do you think that, like, what are like the majority of ticket sales coming from? Like dude bros who want to watch plane movie or like people who want to see like hot Miles Teller and Tom Cruise and shit?
I think this is one of those movies that most people can like just find a common ground in and they like all enjoy like, it.
There's too many hot people.
Yeah.
Many hot people in a movie, you're going to find common ground.
Everyone.
I mean,
I love the joke where people are like, Top Gun Maverick is just propaganda for the U.S. military. And then the next thing is like, and it's working. And it's like an intense rock metal behind it. Yeah. People are like saluting.
Well, you know that like they're like funded by the government too to make these movies, right?
Yeah.
Because like they're like, it is kind of propaganda.
But I mean, hell, I want to fly a jet.
But in the best way possible. Yeah. Man, I want to get in that cockpit.
I want to grow my
full throttle up. Hit 10 G's. I don't know if that's a lot.
My ribs explode.
My chest caves in.
I didn't do any of the training.
Speaking of my chest caving in.
What?
This bit of news makes me so sad that my chest is caving in. Mm. Disney Plus is set to reveal new surprises, events, and premieres on their Disney Plus Day on September 8th.
Why does this make you sad?
Because I'm tired of it.
You're sick of it?
I'm tired of Disney. I'm tired of Disney. We need to get rid of Disney. Disney needs to be abolished.
Really? Just full on abolished.
They,
just going to throw that there.
They're close to a monopoly.
Oh, they're getting close to a monopoly.
Well, Technically, no, which kind of sucks because, like, the legal definition is, like, they have to own all of it.
Which is just not...
But, like, they'll never own all of the film industry because someone will always be making and putting out movies.
But they'll own most, that's for sure.
So they're like, hey. They're, like, almost monopoly.
I'm almost positive that the Disney Plus day, because it's, like, 2 days before all the big reveals of the D23 conference, we're just going to get, like, this new Halloween special and then, like, two new reveals.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, like, Disney Plus originals.
Yeah. High School Musical, like, the musical, the TV shows, the series, the special, the
like
the
not spin-off. Even like Marvel branded originals, like
yeah, we'll yeah. We'll see what high
school,
happens.
High School Mucosol, yeah, for sure.
High School Mucosol. Speaking of mucus, this next bit of news makes me so excited. My nose is running. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 will be released on December 20th, 2024, going head-to-head with Avatar 3. I don't care who you are, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is going to beat you, Avatar. I'm sorry.
I don't think it will.
Well, you can be wrong.
Okay.
We'll see what the box office says.
Speaking of better movie franchises, Kung Fu Panda 4 is officially in the works and will release on March 8th, 2024.
Let's go.
We've been asking for it for years.
I think like 5 years. 6 years, maybe.
I think it's more than that, don't you think?
But Kung Fu Panda has been like one of those series where like all three are just really good quality. Great movies. How do you make a peacock threatening? You know what I mean?
You put him against Jack Black.
You make him voiced by Gary Oldman. But what do you think is going to be like the plot of this new one?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Maybe Po's dying. Maybe this is like Po's, or not necessarily dying, but maybe he's like passing on the mantle of the Dragon Warrior.
But you do know that like he died in the third one, right?
What? No, he didn't.
Yeah, he got sent to the spirit world by the bad guy, and then he comes back with the power of chi.
Yeah, so he's not dead.
But he already died.
I understand they're not going to kill him. He's just passing the mantle. It's a metaphorical death of the Dragon Warrior.
Oh, okay. So a cop out.
We're spending too much time on this.
Speaking about big old fat pandas, this new Echo Set image of the upcoming Disney Plus show reveals Vincent D'Onofrio is back as Kingpin. Looks like one bullet wasn't enough. He's so wide in this one. Like, he's definitely Kingpin now in the MCU. My guy is huge.
He's beefy. He's got some girth going on to him.
Like in the Netflix shows, it was always like, let's make him realistic. Like a big, strong guy, but he's not. I like how that now we're like in the more cartoony MCU thing. Like, he's a big ass guy.
Yeah, but it's not even like that unrealistic. He's just a big
ass
guy.
He's just a dude. He's a wall. I'm so excited. Yeah. I don't think. Do you think he'll show up in She-Hulk at all or no?
Nah, I don't think so. Maybe like as a tease for Echo at the end, maybe. Mm. But I don't know. I don't know. Probably
a reverberation, if you will. Because Echo?
That was stupid.
Then why are you smiling?
Speaking of really stupid, after hearing the backlash from multiple visual effects artists, rather than fix the problems and pay them proper wages, give them better hours, Marvel is planning on possibly starting their own visual effects companies, where they can just rather abuse these employees in their own workplace establishment, rather than outsourcing. Right? And that's what I'm getting from this.
Yeah, I don't know if this means that they're going to like, oh, we'll just have these people specific for our projects and they'll have the time to do it. Or they're going to be like, we will change nothing, but we'll have a little umbrella name.
That's kind of what it seems like. Like, everyone was like, hey, you need to treat them right. And they're like, you know what? You're right. We're going to start our own organization. And everyone's like, that didn't answer the question at all.
You're right. You're all fired. We're finding cheaper pay. Maybe this could have something good out of it, like how Lucasfilms created, like, Industrial Lights and Magic and all that, and they made a bunch of stellar things, like, maybe this can start it, but from the way that this started out, it seems like it might just be a way for them to get away with not paying them enough, but hopefully it's the better one. Speaking of better things that might actually be worse, we're into DC news. I know, I'm sorry, but this is going to continue for a few weeks until we have this Discovery HBO Max merger thing figured out. But for starters, last week with Batgirl and a bunch of other things getting canceled, we can add CW's Gotham Knights to being canceled before being released.
Fun.
But that's fine.
Elba confirms. You always do this, dude. You always do this. Oh, I'm just saying one thing. and then you mansplain over me.
I just think it's like interesting how like you try to spin this back on me and you mansplain my mansplaining by explaining what I'm
always the victim.
Oh my God. Let's just go on with this next news bit. Not about the CW.
Speaking of victims, Idris Elba is a victim to crime. I don't know. Idris Elba confirms that he's working on another project with DC, rumored to be a Bloodsport spinoff. I'm going to guess this isn't happening anymore.
No, this is of this week past the merger.
Yeah. I still don't think it's going to happen.
You think?
I have so little faith.
I don't know. I feel like DC has a really good thing of like when they find the things that work, they put everything into it. That's why we had like a second Wonder Woman, second Aquaman, second Shazam and all that. I feel like the success of Peacemaker this year, I feel like they're going to do that. I don't think every character needs like spin-off like series or things like that. But I mean, Idris Elba is great. So pros and cons. Speaking about pros and cons, the Arrowverse from the CW. We're back. Sorry. The CW boss, Greg Berlanti, is possibly the top candidate for DC Films' Kevin Feige role. I like how Kevin Feige is now becoming
I think it's so funny. I was about to say the same damn thing. He has his own role. Like, he's just, like, defined what that is. Why isn't it just, like, creative lead?
Because executive you'd be creator, like, what does
executive
that mean?
Executive creative mind. No, you know it exactly what it means, because that's what Kevin is probably what his title. What do you think his title is? What do you think Kevin Feige's title is?
I think it's Marvel Staple Hat Guy.
Chief Creative Officer. So I was pretty close. Creative
I feel like
something.
we were both pretty close. You had the creative part down.
So maybe instead of next time for the news bit, why don't you just put it as possible candidate for DC Films Chief Creative Officer?
Because that's
doesn't have the nice ring to it like Kevin Feige.
Because you don't know what that means.
Because this one Jackson can't pronounce.
But not only can Jackson not pronounce it, but on like four different articles, they're like Kevin they're looking Feige. For their Kevin Feige, and I was like, that's interesting. Yeah. He's a noun now.
Yeah, he is. I'm okay with that choice. I think, given the tools, I mean, like, it's not like he did like a bad job with.
He
the
did
CW
the best he could for
stuff.
TV.
Right, like he like it was honestly like really well like interconnected. Honest, like it was a decent like universe with like multiple things interlocking. So I think if they gave him like the budget and the help to do it on like the big scale, he could probably do it. Who would you want to see, Danon? I think Steven Spielberg, and here's why. He hates superhero movies.
He does. So he could do them better.
So he could do them better because he knows what to do better because he hates them.
I say, who's the guy that really hated Marvel for a while? Classic director.
Martin Scorsese.
Get him to do it.
Sazy.
Imagine everyone's reaction of Martin Scorsese.
They'd be like, what the fuck? Chief Creative Officer, DC
all
Films.
Of DC. It's nothing but Joker. It's nothing but Joker.
Speaking of DC, it's all DC.
Yeah, it's a DC.
DC was reportedly planning a Crisis on Infinite Earths movie before Discovery took over Warner Brothers. Why? You got to work your way there. You can't just start there. You had one Justice League movie.
Yeah, this seems like one of those Zack Snyder things where it's like, we were going to introduce zombies and Wonder Woman was going to, like, after the thing was built.
Yeah.
I think this might be like a Sony hack situation where they had like a manila folder that just said Crisis ? And they're like, see,
like,
we
like,
had
it'll
plans.
Probably happen in the future.
Yeah. But I doubt that they actually had a setup for it. Speaking of DC. so the DC film Batgirl got scrapped because of low test scores. But those test scores were actually the same test scores as the upcoming Black Adam movie, which is still getting released.
And a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
And has The Rock as the main character, which means they're paying him a buttload of money because he's in every movie nowadays.
The DC's gone on to say, we want to keep Leslie Grace as our Batgirl if we can. You know how you could keep her? Is just release the Batgirl
just release
movie,
the movie
that you've already filmed at this point.
Filmed probably like at least halfway edited.
Yeah. But people won't like That's it. I guarantee people aren't going to like Black Adam.
But now they can write it off as a tax write-off.
Which doesn't even save them that much money. Regardless, DC is doing one step forward, one step back. So hopefully we get some good news coming up, huh?
I got some.
Fire away.
The live-action Green Lantern Corps TV series is confirmed to still be in development at HBO Max.
I'm not upset about
despite
that.
Despite all this.
I'm not upset.
I'm not either. I'm excited. I hope that Green Lantern finally gets a good piece of media because I think Green Lantern's an awesome character. Oh my god, we gotta talk about DC Super Pets. I'm so excited to get there. We're just talking so much DC right now. I'm just remembering all the good moments from DC Super Pets. Rapid fire, rapid fire.
Well, great, because we're on to our last news bit. Something I just really wanted us to sit with for a second. So, Warner Brothers is considering one of three options for the upcoming Flash movie. Now, it's no surprise that actor Ezra Miller has been in the news a lot recently, whether it is terrorizing families in the Hawaiian Islands or robbing people in Vermont or just weird, weird shit. But don't worry, Warner Brothers has a plan. If Ezra Miller, this is option number one. Now, we could pick which one we like the most, okay? Option number one.
Okay.
If Ezra Miller gets professional help and explains behavior, the film will release with limited press.
Hmm.
Option number two. If they don't get help, the film could still be released with minimal publicity from them, and then they will be recast for future films. Option number three. If the situation gets worse, Warner Brothers could scrap the film altogether.
All right. Realistically, scrap the fuck film. You already scrapped Batgirl. Scrap this one and just start again. This is your chance. This is your you're given your chance on a fucking silver platter on how to restart your universe. You already canceled the movie. Your other actor is going haywire. Please just cancel it. But I think option number two is going to happen. I think that they're not going to get help.
I think option number two might be.
And they're just going to release the film, but Ezra Miller will not be involved in any of the promotion.
And Michael Keaton will keep getting asked.
And then they'll be recast by, like, the end of the film will be the reset of the DCEU, I think. No yeah. matter what, at this point.
Like, the Flash ends up.
They're going to do some Flashpoint, and then it's going to be like, boom, now we're in a new universe because.
A new actor.
Whoa, we can't do that.
Whoa, why does the Flash look different with a different costume? Oh, man, the Speed Force is weird, right?
Yeah, because all they'd have to refilm now is, like...
The ending.
That last ending bit. Yeah, it could work.
God, I can't wait for the Flash movie.
No matter what, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time all around.
It's going to be so fun.
Did you know that Ezra Miller is constantly traveling in a bulletproof vest because they're so scared that the FBI and the KKK are after them?
Why?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I do not know.
Man.
Anyways, let's get into the best movie.
Ezra Miller's got their own version of the Rogues.
Let's get into the best movie of the summer. DC's League of Super Pets. The best movie of the summer, by far.
That's not true.
Without question.
If you seem so excited about it, I would love for you to take the plot summary on this one.
I would love to give you a plot summary.
But before we jump into that, what'd you think about the movie?
I loved it. Unironically, I know it sounds like I'm being a little bit sarcastic right now, but I could not stop laughing throughout most of this movie. I thought it was genuinely funny. It was hilarious. The plot was good. I felt like they understood the characters enough to do justice to them and still poke fun at them. I thought it was an all-around good movie. It was really fun.
I think it's fine. Like, I didn't hate it.
See, like I gave you reasoning for, like, why I thought it was good, and you're like, it's fine, I don't know.
Well, I can get into it. I have plenty of reasons.
Let me give the plot summary, and then we can get into it, okay? Plot summary.
Okay, go for it.
Superman, you know his typical origin story? Imagine if he had a dog, and that dog traveled to Earth with him, and also had Kryptonian powers. Pretty much nothing from the story changes, except Superman growing up has a super dog that is like a superhero sidekick. So everyone knows him as Krypto the Super Dog, you know, after Planet Krypton. It's very original. Anyways... Lex Luthor in this universe goes through some experiments. I don't want to give too much away, but he gets his hands on some fancy kryptonite that may give some people some powers, or maybe some animals.
Are you worried
powers.
About spoiling this, dude? We are going all like if you don't want this movie spoiled. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. It's like a 90-minute film. You can watch it and come back.
Lex Luthor, he experiments with this guinea pig named Lulu, and together they discover that XK. Can give animals powers. Lex Luthor thought it could give people powers, but Lulu knows it can give animals powers. And so Krypto the Super Dog and Superman are just living their life, doing their thing. And Krypto the Super Dog, I got lost. Let me restart.
Krypto, are you reading something?
No. I'm just trying to... Krypto and Superman, right? They get attacked by a guinea pig with superpowers who kidnaps Superman and the rest of the Justice League and starts their own legion of super guinea pigs to try and take over the world. Meanwhile, Krypto the Super Dog ate a piece of kryptonite and now has to live life without powers. Meanwhile, he's met a group of ragtag team members named Ace, Chip, PB, Merton, and Lulu. No, not Lulu.
Lulu's a bad one.
Lulu, like, she comes around at the end. They got to band together and save the world and the Justice League also. Because the Justice League is really bad at their jobs in this movie.
Now, I just want to ask the audience, feel free to pause and give your response and we'll hear back and respond as if you said it. From what you've heard, how do you feel that this movie could be? We'll give you a few seconds. That's what we were all thinking or disagreeing with. You were all correct or wrong in your own standpoints. Now, from there, you got to keep in mind that this is a kid's film. So yeah. You can't hold this at the lens of like Shawshank Redemption or anything like that.
But there are many moments for adults in this movie. There were three separate times the turtle said a very bad cuss word. She said shit, shit, and then fuck. The turtle said fuck in this movie. Now, they bleeped it out, but you could tell what she said, and it was awesome. And there was a mom, like, a seat over from me who was fucking dying at this movie. Like, you could tell she did not want to be there. Movie started. She loved it. Best movie she's ever seen.
I'm very glad that mom got a kick out of the swearing. That was really good. But it also raises the question, now that they, like, did it, is, like, can everyone hear the censoring? Because everyone turns and reacts almost as if they can hear the censor.
No, I don't think
but
so.
I think it's
they
just
turn
just
and
a
react
swear
because they're like, jeez. Can't be cussing like
we
that.
We can't say that.
We're in a kid's movie right now.
Now, before we move too further into our favorite section of what works, what doesn't work, we have to talk about these iconic... I can think of a pet pun for this.
Iconic.
What's a pun?
Iponic, like iconic. You literally just said the word. You just said the word.
I thought you said pawn. Oh. Like P-A-W-N.
Ipronic, because like prawns.
Ipronic. Okay.
It's still
okay,
an animal.
That's better. Let's look at these Ipronic characters. First up, we have Crypto, the super dog. Probably one of The Rock's best film roles.
I think so. He definitely kind of played The Rock, but if The Rock was a dog.
The dog does do The Rock's eyebrow, for those of you curious, so if he does it or not.
Uh-huh. And I pointed it out, and man, it made my viewing experience that much better. This movie, Danon, did not want to take itself seriously, and I think that's what you're missing here. The movie knows that it's fucking bad, but like, it's so good at the same time. Like, it knows that the premise is so shitty and so dumb that they make up for it in every other area to the point where the plot just like fits the movie and it's no longer dumb. Like, they've beat the dumb allegations towards their plot.
I think it is very aware of what it is, which makes it fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Said it before, I'll say it again. Can never get tired of The Rock in any movie. After Black Adam, I would like a little bit of a pause, if you will.
Can we announce some potential merch drops in the future?
Of The Rock O'Clock?
Yeah. Now we're already talking about it. We may as well mention it. Keep your eye out for some potential merch drop. Rock O'Clock. Because we know how much you guys love The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
So why not wear your love on your chest? And
you know,
back.
The classic
your torso.
Eyebrow raise?
Wrap everything.
You may see one or two of those.
You also might see a lawsuit
a clock.
In the future. A lawsuit about using people's likeness.
His face isn't copyright, right?
I don't know. We didn't really look into it before we did it, did we?
No, we did not.
But moving on from The Rock being a dog.
Wait, can a movie with The Rock? Without his best pal,
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart's got to be by his side.
Kevin Hart plays Ace,
the invulnerable dog who still feels pain. Which, damn, poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
like Deadpool, except he can't actually take the damage.
He just feels all the pain.
But like, it doesn't affect him.
But he
like,
can't die.
Like, you'll punch him for some reason. It hurts, even though it does nothing to him.
Yeah, like he feels it all. It's the opposite of Luke Cage, where he's bulletproof and invulnerable. He feels everything, but he's just nothing happens to his body. Yeah. This one, I think Kevin Hart actually put in quite a character for this. Like there was like a different separation.
I cried during his one sad scene. The one sad scene in this movie was so sad.
Are you? Okay. First of all, are you fucking kidding me?
You weren't sad by that? Oh my god, that was heartbreaking.
Second of all, let me break down the sad part to the audience. Okay. So we get the stand-in Pixar sad moment of this film, where Ace is talking to Crypto about how hard it is to like have an owner that loves you back and knows you for who you are, and why they need to save the Justice League. Ace was to this family. They had a little kid, and the little kid one day was gonna walk down the stairs and like fall down it, because it's like a little kid who barely knows how to walk. So Ace goes and grabs the baby by like the wrist and pulls him away from the stairs, saving the baby from falling. But it also looks like the dog just bit the baby on the hand, and so the parents were worried that the dog would hurt the kid, so they put him up at the adoption shelter kind of thing. And you're like, aw, that's sad. But I'm not even kidding, Camden. You know, there's a clip online of fucking Tom Hiddleston on like a late night show. How he has his acting thing where he can cry after saying any sentence or something like that. I started doing what he was talking about during the scene, and I started making myself fake cry to the point where Jackson looked at me, and I was like, it's just so deep. And it's like, overall, it's like, yes, it is a softer, sadder
it's
moment
so
in the movie.
It's so sad. And I was not
but at the same time
it. Because it was like, such a rapid shit. It was so funny, and then all of a sudden,
that's why it was funny.
Flashback.
That's why it
and
was
then sad music. I was like, "What's happening?"
I think it, that was by far the best joke in the movie unintentionally. Like, because they, yeah, they're going like, "Isn't this all goofy?" And then they just go, "Bam! Here's the sad part." But it's not like
be sad.
But it's not like, "Oh my god, they killed this character." It's like, "Bam!" And you're like, "Oh, what are you trying to do?" And they're like, "I'm going to go walk into the invisible jet again." But yeah. Kevin Hart's in this. Kevin Hart is, I think Ace is a better overall character than Crypto.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's typically
let's
how
talk about
it
Chip.
Works, right?
Chip, that French
Chip,
squirrel.
Diego Luna.
Is he French?
Everyone's favorite. No.
I think he was.
I don't think he's French.
I feel like he at least looks French, like the squirrel does.
Oh.
Can you agree with me on that one?
I could say yes, because of the broken tooth. It's very French.
Very French. His powers were the most useless. He just had lightning powers that he couldn't control most of the time. I don't think he ever learned to control them.
I think he
did it once, like in like when it really mattered, because you know that's how they do it in these movies. But I don't think he ever like beyond that. Yeah,
no. No, and this is also the actor who plays everyone's favorite Star Wars character, Cassian Andor. So expect him in our review in November. The series comes out in a month, and we don't get to talk about it until November. You know why? Because we have to go through 12 weeks.
Episodes. That's a lot of
not relevant.
Episodes. Not relevant, but we're mad about
Camden,
it.
Even Camden's,
I
why is there that many episodes?
I think that's too much. Chip's funny.
Next up, we have PB the Pig. There's a pig in a shelter for whatever reason.
You know what would be funny, Dana?
Wonder Woman's...
If they made pigs... You know how pigs are normally big?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be funny if they gave it the superpower to shrink really small. And also grow
but
really
also
big.
But also be really big.
Because it's like, that's ironic. That's not what a pig does.
A pig doesn't shrink and grow at will.
The pig was a decent character. A little annoying at times. Kind of just there. I thought their relationship with Wonder Woman was pretty funny. And how Wonder Woman was just like, you're going to make a mighty warrior at the end of the movie. That was hilarious.
There's this weird part where like they have this running joke throughout the whole thing that PB can't decide on a name for what her superpower, like her superhero name should be. But it's like a weird well to kind of run dry on, because you barely got any laughs from the first one. And then at the end, they're like, isn't this funny? And you're like, I didn't know we were doing this the entire movie.
I forgot that was still a bit by the end.
Yeah, like it was a big bit.
Like they needed to include it like maybe one more time.
But yeah, the pig. And finally, we have the all-star super pet character. We have Merton.
Merton McSnurtle the Turtle. Merton McSnurtle the Turtle is arguably the best character in this film. Definitely the comic relief, but also heart of gold, I must say. And horny. Really horny.
Very horny.
Probably the horniest character in this movie. Second to
probably
Superman.
The
second to John Krasinski. Which, by the
probably
way,
the
can he not do any other
seen.
Voice? All he does is John Krasinski.
Me, Superman.
Hey, look, it's me, John Krasinski from The Office. And you're like, okay.
They should call me Iron Man.
No one really laughed at that in my theater, actually.
Yeah, because it's not a funny joke.
Yeah, I don't like when like they pick fun in that sense of the matter. It's fun when they like reference each other and they like pay homage. But when they like are just like Isn't that dumb? It's like, no, you're the worst franchise. You can f-ing sit down for a moment.
Like when they're like, what is he, some kind of Batman? You're like, don't f-ing, don't reference each other like that directly. Just make a fun joke, but don't just say the name.
Don't say Iron Man. What am I, some kind of Iron Man? Oh, brother.
Shut up, John Krasinski. But back to Merton, the horny turtle. So she gets super speed, and the she
which is
she,
ironic.
The joke of her being very slow and then very quick, and then very slow. That is her joke. I realize now that I'm saying this, all these characters actually just carry one consistent joke throughout.
Yeah.
Chips
was like anxiety, and like he would like freak out and
because
mental illness is funny.
Pretty funny.
Ace was abandonment issues,
which is really fucking funny.
And so he was invulnerable, so nothing could hurt him again.
And he still felt pain, though.
Felt pain. Holy dude! Oh my god, we just picked up on what they probably were meaning to be very obvious.
But that's still that's
get it
because
the pig can get big and small because the pig has issues about their weight, and Chip has anxiety. And Merton the Turtle is slow, but now she's fast.
I don't know if speed is like an applicable mental illness, but it's one hell of a drug. Finally, we have Lulu, the evil guinea pig. She's there.
She is a little annoying, but I liked her motives, and I liked how she was horny for Lex Luthor. I thought that was fantastic.
Aren't we all?
Especially in this movie, they made him chiseled as fuck. Yeah, that jawline.
I'd Lex Luthor.
I'm going on record by saying that I would fuck Lex Luthor. Had to look out the window.
Why
are
the police outside?
Standing
outside.
Yeah.
There are people. They heard that quick. That's bad. Anyways, it's Kate McKinnon. She's doing her scary voice again. I mean, she's great as a voice actress and everything. But like sometimes you're like, she's just.
You're like, it's this voice again. Yeah.
She's fine. It's better than Ghostbusters 2016.
You gotta admit, though, the cast for this movie was not necessarily like fantastic, but it was very star-studded.
Stacked.
Yeah, like a stacked
without
cast.
Without getting into them, we have random people like Keanu Reeves as Batman. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of randos. It's great. It's great.
I'll just start
saying
names.
Doesn't add to anything.
Ben Schwartz.
Big.
Natasha Lyonne.
Nice.
Thomas Middleditch, Jameel.
Yeah,
oh, Jameel. David Diggs, Olivia Wilde. Uh-oh, controversy. Keith David. Alfred Molina was in this. He was Jor-El, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had like a lot of people in this. Good thing, too, because it was a fucking awesome movie. Let's talk about what works and what doesn't.
Let's talk to our favorite famous segment, what works, what doesn't work. What works, Camden?
I think
you can't say everything.
I was going to, but then I knew you were going to say that, so I didn't. I think what works in this movie is the tone of it. I think the overall tone of the movie fits the plot very well. It fits the writing very well. I think everything that they wanted to accomplish in this movie, like they were very aware of what they intended to do, and I think they executed it very well. You know what I mean? Like I don't think that there was like many things that they're like, I wish we had done that better. Like, I feel like this is just kind of like what they wanted to produce. They produced it and it was good.
I think like when they make fun of like the lunacy of like pets with superpowers, the superhero universe, and then like, didn't Superman pick up that building last week kind of thing? Or like, oh no, my car's getting flooded by Aquaman's weird entrance. Those are really funny. And I think like when you can poke fun at yourself in like those direct ways, like what worked really well with the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah.
When they make those jokes and you're like, This is funny how crazy stuff is. That's where it is really great. No, I wouldn't even say like the animation isn't like
it's nothing to like
bad
talk about.
It's not great. Yeah.
Yeah. It is an animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. I don't even know whose studio to compare it to. Who made this, by the way?
Let's find out.
Because I don't know if it was like any typical animation studio. I wonder. Maybe this was like one of their first. Well, it's probably the same studio who animated Secret Life of Pets, right?
Might be.
I think they're the same.
It wasn't.
No, really.
It wasn't. Warner Animation Group, DC. Let's see what movies they've made. They've made one movie.
Is it DC's League of Super Pets?
Okay. No. I think. Ooh. Never mind. Let's go back a little bit. Ready for this fucking stacked level of animations?
Yes, sir.
We have DC Super Pets, of course. Mm-hmm. We have Space Jam, A New LeBronacy. We have Tom and Jerry, the newer one that came out last year.
Okay.
Scoob.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for this one. Smallfoot.
Okay. Oh,
Storks.
Storks.
Okay. All jokes aside, let's get ready for these four bangers. We have the Lego Ninjago movie, the Lego Batman movie, Lego Movie 1, and Lego Movie 2.
Huh. I didn't know that they produced those.
So why did it make this piece of shit?
Why are you saying it's a piece of shit? Tell me what doesn't work, and then we can get into it.
We got to get into what doesn't work right now.
That's what I said.
I think overall, my biggest complaint is actually the dumbest one. Man, like no one looks awful in this movie. We even talked about how much we want to fuck Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you, this is the grossest design of the Justice League we have ever seen. And it doesn't quite make sense because none of the other normal looking characters or anything like that are like exaggerated caricatures. So it's weird that the Justice League themselves have such like drastic things that make them stand out. Like Lois Lane looks like Lois Lane would in any animation style. She looks like very human shaped, Jimmy Olsen, all that. Then you have like Batman where his shoulders are connected to his head directly and his ears are like 2 feet each, which is great. And then fucking Aquaman is super weird. Wonder Woman is like all legs, and that like her outfit in this one, she is holding on to that suit for dear goddamn life. I don't even know what Green Lantern this is.
Yeah, no. Were you offended or were you happy that Chip got the Green Lantern ring at the end of the movie?
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I looked over at my date. I was like, is he a part of the Green Lantern Corps now? And she was like, what? And I was like, I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense.
Did he go to OA? Do you think he passed the oath? Do you think he did the test?
Like, how did he just
like that one doesn't make any
like it's not like he just like
sense.
Got the cool ring. Like, you gotta go through a process, bro. Come on.
Also, that whole last scene was the best and worst part of that movie for sure. When everyone's like, here's your super pet and everything.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of guinea pigs that get a bunch of random powers, but two of them, the ones voiced by the actual actors and everything, Ben Schwartz and who was the other one? Tom Middlevich?
Yeah.
They play like a fire guinea pig.
You know, the ones who do like, comedy, improv comedy.
He's one of the guinea pigs. Aquaman goes like, no one wants to be with the water guy. And then the guinea pig that has the ability of waters comes out of a puddle and goes, this water guy does. And I was like, that is somehow the best and worst line in this entire movie.
Middleton and Schwartz, like, that's what it's called. They have this improv show that they do where they do like an hour long, like just stand up session together where they just like improv the whole thing.
Those two are great. Weird inclusion.
Yeah. I think they were in love.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I wish I just wanted to say it though. Well, yeah.
Why are we afraid to show gay guinea pigs, huh? Show me those guinea pigs.
I don't get it. Show me those guinea pigs. All right.
Overall, it's like, it's so odd to like be harsh on a children's film because a lot of times we're like, oh, this is a little cliche or this is, but
it
doesn't
feel
even
that cliche though. Like it felt very original. Like, I don't know. It felt good. It felt like fun. I enjoyed it. I could see where it was going the whole time because it was a kid's movie, but it was enjoyable. I enjoyed the ride. You know what I mean? I don't need to be surprised
by
the ending.
That's why I think I hated it because I was like, oh, no, I see the plot. Get it off the screen. I was like, I know what's happening next. And then the kid right next to me goes, don't spoil it. I said, I already know.
He's going to eat the
He's
cheese.
He's doing the super punch. He's doing the super punch.
The second that he described the super punch, I looked over and I was like, the movie's going to end by Crypto doing the super punch. And then someone that he made friends with along the way is going to save him.
So he doesn't die.
That's
it's
exactly
really
what
weird.
Happened.
It's
I was
exactly
losing
what
my
happened.
Mind. Because they're not going to kill Crypto the super dog.
He can't. You have a whole franchise here with Dwayne the Dog Johnson.
Dwayne the Dog. That's what it is. That's what we've been working up
That's
for.
What it is. I think on that one, I'm ready to rate this. Are you ready to rate this?
Ready to give it a good rating.
What do we rate this out of 5 pieces of cheeses laced with kryptonite?
Do
you want me to go first? Or?
Yeah, you can. If you have your rating ready, go ahead, because I'm still thinking what I'm going to give it.
I'm going to give it like a, I think I'm going to give it like a 3.8. Like, it's not terrible. You can't give this like a 2 or anything like that. But
I was going to give it a 3.9.
Yeah, like, it's not.
I'm shocked you gave it that high. That's an 86. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
Because there's no complaints about the way that the way flows and everything. It's just like annoying to the point where you're like, I don't need to see this again. Like, as I'm watching, I'm like, this is fun. Haha. I wasn't expecting that. But I came out of that going, yeah, I don't want to see Black Adam.
Yeah, I'll go 3.9, maybe 4. I think 4, I'll drop it back down to the 3.9 simply because I didn't like how The Rock played the fucking Black Adam's dog and Black Adam and Crypto the Super Dog. Why is he playing all three parts in the same movie? Did you notice that? You stayed for the post-credit scene, right?
Of course I stayed for the post-credit scene. I did take a shit during the super punch, though.
Everyone in my theater left after the mid-credit scene. They did not know there was a post-credit scene. I was the only one in my theater who saw it, and it was glorious.
Yeah.
So this is what The Rock was talking about at Comic-Con, when he was like,
We can't confirm nor deny.
It depends who's playing Superman. And everyone's like, does that mean they recast Superman? No, he was just in the pet movie.
No, he's just in the cameo in the pet movie, because we're never going to see Black Adam fight Superman. We'll be lucky if we see Black Adam fight Shazam.
But, I mean, in this universe, they clearly know each other. He was like, Black Adam. I did like how he was like, I'm basically a villain, but I follow my own rules and I save people. Like, that whole, like, monologue he did. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I did like how they broke down what an anti-hero was and how stupid it is to be an anti-hero.
Yeah, it's like, well, isn't that just a villain? It's like, no. Well, kind of.
Yeah, like the idea of an anti-hero is really stupid. Just a joke. Like Black Adam isn't an anti-hero. Like, he's very much like Namor, where he's just, I'm protecting these people and no one else.
Yeah.
So he's like a hero to them, a threat to everyone else. He's like Shadow the Hedgehog from the hit Sonic video games.
All right, man. We should end the podcast now. You talk about Sonic too much.
And with that, that's it for our Summer Splash Volume 2.
If you're wondering where Jackson was, Jackson imploded spontaneously.
He ate a piece of cheese with kryptonite.
He did.
And that was a side effect.
He didn't pass it, though. He imploded.
Yeah, no, that one lasted. He did not make it.
Yeah, poor guy.
But join us in a few weeks when we're back to talk about a movie. Can't wait to look up a list of the movies coming out.
Yes, there are movies coming out soon.
We're going to come back in a few weeks to talk about Doi, a movie that we've never seen before, and we cannot wait to see it. Of course, I'm referring to Spider-Man No Way Home, the More Fun Stuff edition. Now, granted, it might be the exact same movie with like two additional scenes, but damn it, if that isn't the only movie that's out that the
week
of
September, review it.
That we're reviewing it.
We could review I Am Groot, but
that's nothing. It's fun. It's nothing. Go watch them.
Is it good?
You might see a cameo or two. I'm not saying anything. Yeah. So we're gonna go watch I Am Groot. You enjoy the rest of your summer. And as always, if you like what you see here and you want to catch more of our reviews and episodes, you know us on Spotify. You can follow us on Instagram at Roomies Talking Movies, on Twitter at Roomies Movies. And we will always catch you in the next episode. Take care. And now I can end this on a pet pun. I know I can.
Take care and clean up after your pets.
Take bear and kick. And cat re
cat
on
cat re on.
This movie's stupid.
Keep clam and cat re on.
See you soon.
Adios.